Welcome to In the Studio Podcast. This is your host, Tim Drake. In this new episode of the podcast, I sit down with up-and-coming artist Brogan Kelby. Brogan is a 19-year-old artist out of Salt Lake City, Utah. Brogan first caught my eye when I saw him open for 30 Seconds to Mars a few years ago, and I've just continued to watch his career grow and grow and grow, and figured he would be a great artist to sit down with and really learn where he came from, learn about his career, where he sees himself going, and, you know, what motivates him, what inspires him to write. We talk about some of the bands that he has shared the stage with, such as 30 Seconds to Mars, Neon Trees, Switchfoot, Anne Berlin, Panic at the Disco, just to name a few. So Brogan has inspired a lot of young artists and continues to inspire artists. We also talk with Brogan about some of the great producers that he's had a chance to work with, including Rancid's drummer, Brandon Steinekert, that ended up working with Brogan on his first album, and one of his first singles that he had released that ended up getting a lot of radio play. So enjoy this interview with Brogan Kelby. To lead into the interview, here's Brogan's song off of his new album, Breathing Color. This is his song, I'm Gonna Dance. Enjoy the interview.
Yeah.
I've only seen pictures online, so.
Yeah, I built the entire thing, so you just not have walls or anything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I just came back here one day, and I'm like, this should be a studio, so.
So you started recording a bunch of bands out of here, haven't you?
I've done a few local artists. I mostly have done myself because I'm so picky with myself and I get so wrapped up in like all these ideas going on in my head where I'll just lose myself in the studio and I'll like push the entire world away. But yeah, I've recorded a few local artists. And it's always cool to work with someone else to kind of get their ideas as well, and kind of it opens up your horizons that much more.
So you just did your newest album. All in here,
yeah.
Self-produced.
Yeah, I did Mirrors and Masks in here as well, and then my latest EP, Breathing Color, I did in here as well. And it's all, everything on there is me playing everything.
Right on, right out of here. That's incredible.
Thank you.
So it's kind of the whole Bryce Avery,
yeah,
Avery take on it. So, and that's, I've always loved that too, because you play with a live band.
Yeah, yeah, I love to recreate. I could do the whole backing track thing live, but I don't like that. I love to recreate everything live again to have that completely live feel.
That's awesome. So do you ever bring in studio musicians on it?
Not really, because I maybe in the future I would, but just I'm so weird with music. I'm so picky with it and my sound. It's like I'd love to be the one that actually gets hands-on with everything, does every instrument, has every aspect of the song down. And so I just lose myself and I'll just sit there and be playing it, and I'll go grab some instrument, I don't even know what it is, how to play it, and I'll just like, huh, I'm gonna go for it, see what happens.
Just quickly Google how to
all right, let's try this, see how it goes.
Right, so. On so for people that are joining right now, so we're sitting down with Brogan Kelby, local artist here in Utah. Mm-hmm. So you've had just an incredible career so far. I mean, over the last several years, I've watched you just continually climb. So, I mean, I was driving down the freeway the other day, and I saw one of your stickers on the back of someone's car.
Oh,
and I was
did?
Just like, that is the craziest thing. That's it's funny. Like, I remember when your first album came out. And so it's been cool watching you climb. And so we wanted to make sure that we got a chance to get in here and talk with you before this entire show gets moved out to L.A. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm grateful for that. So, yeah, thanks for chatting with me. And, yeah, past few years have been kind of uphill, downhill, uphill, but mostly going uphill. It's just that slow climb going up. And yeah, I've seen a few people too, like where I'll be driving on the freeway, and also I see my sticker, and it's like, yeah, go you.
it takes that moment where all of a sudden you're just like, wait, I've seen that before. That's me.
That's exactly how it is. It's like, wait. Oh, I got that tattoo on my arm. Yeah, that's me.
I remember a clothing line I used to have years ago. We'd sold out of all of our inventory. We were just kind of done with it.
Well, that's cool.
And my wife and I were walking into a Walmart one day, and this little kid comes walking out wearing one of my shirts.
Oh, really?
And it took me a second. I was just like, that's my shirt. Like, it was the weirdest thing in the entire world to see, like, some of your work out somewhere
cool.
that just some stranger has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
So now we talk about, like, the first, you know, the last couple of years have really, you know, been kind of the Brogan Kelby explosion at this point. So, but where did it all start? So, I mean, I was reading, you know, I started writing when you were 11.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an outlet. But where did it all start for you?
I mean, music has always been huge to me. My entire family, like, no one in my family's really gone after music. The only person my family really has is my great-grandmother, who was a singer. But she didn't really take it too far.
Well, what kind of singing was it? Was it just, like, classical?
It's more classical, kind of that kind of style. So no one really tried to go big singer. And so, When I just remember as a kid, I was always listening to music. It was just anything it was. I just loved listening to music. I was never super, super picky, but my family, I actually grew up like listening to country and all that. And I loved country, and I grew up listening to that classic rock and country and just that more classic kind of stuff. And then when I was about 8 years old is when I decided I really wanted to try something. And so that's when I got my first guitar. And I was teaching myself, started getting lessons after a few months, and I hated it. Horrible, because it hurt my fingers so bad. I'm like, screw this, I don't want to do this, this hurts. And it was so much work. I'm like, I don't want this anymore. I remember going to lessons, my guitar teacher do something like crazy guitar solo, and I'm like, I just want to do that now. I don't have to wait to have to do that. That was so cool. And so, I mean, I kind of stuck with it, and I kind of played on and off. Then when I was about 11 is when I was kind of like, okay, I really do want to get back into it. I really, it was like, because 3 years went by, and I'm like, man, 3 years I could have really gone into it, and by the age of 11 I could have done, you know, really cool things with the guitar and maybe some other instruments. And so then right about 11 I started kind of writing, kind of started messing around, started kind of jamming with friends. And then at 13 is when I really just kind of got the hang of it down. And I started performing. I joined School of Rock. The one that had it in Salt Lake. It was kind of by the gateway. They think tore it down and moved it somewhere else now.
Yeah, I remember seeing it bounce around a few locations down in American Fork, I think, and then here in Salt Lake.
Yeah, they've moved it a few times. And so I went there for a few months, and I got more guitar lessons, kind of got guitar down even more, and then I performed my first concert with them. It was a David Bowie concert. And it was pretty cool. I was like, yeah, David Bowie.
Just cool. Everybody in the school just doing all Bowie covers.
All that's Bowie awesome. Covers. It was pretty cool. And so we, I did the David Bowie concert. And it was fun, but I was like, I don't want to do covers. I don't want to be stuck doing covers. And the school didn't really teach me how to really write on my own and kind of push me, you know, with original stuff. So I eventually kind of got out of it. And plus, it's pretty expensive, too. So I just got out of it. And then really just started writing my own stuff and kind of started recording myself with, like, the free program Audacity that you can go download. And I was just recording myself acoustically and then got a band together and kind of messed around with band stuff. And it just kind of drove me insane being in a band because it was just so many people, so many egos. I'm like, I just want to deal with my ego. I don't want to deal with someone else's ego.
Yeah, you've got to please everybody. I remember in old bands I was in, that was always the worst part.
It was terrible.
We'd fight over the dumbest you things. Just, like, someone forgot to bring Yoo-Hoo to practice, and suddenly everybody hated each other. Yes,
that's exactly how it goes. And I'm just like, I can't stand this. I'm like, I just want to be by myself. And so, yeah, I mean, it was fun. It was a great experience. And I've been in, like, a few bands, and I just didn't really like it too much. And I love the idea of just me playing every instrument just to get the overall idea of the song. And so then I started pushing myself away from bands. I became a solo artist when I was about 14, 15. I'm like, I'm just going to go for it. I'm like, I guess I'll just, you know, play just me and my acoustic guitar. And I just started performing in cafes anywhere I could. I was probably performing about 3 times a week in, like, cafes and random events. And stuff like where I'd just be, like, thrown in the corner and nobody would be paying attention. People would just, like, be walking by and maybe glance over. I'd be like, please come listen to me.
No, you did that at the Gateway Mall, right?
I did that, yeah. I did it all over the place. It was just anywhere I seriously could. I'd be just performing. And I'd just be like, for my mom and me, that'd be it. And then I slowly started getting kind of more people's attention. And then I started getting some friends that were, like, yeah, we'd all come play live with you. So we could start, like, kind of doing full band stuff. And I had, like, my next-door neighbor and then my stepbrother and some other people that were just kind of being the band for me. But they weren't, like, taking it, like, seriously. It was just, like, you know, they just come perform with me whenever they could. And so I started, like, performing with whatever show I could get on and, like, contact, like, Collective and United and other concert promoters and try to see if I could get on any show I could. And it started kind of building up from there. I was just still kind of doing whatever show was possible. And then when I was about 15, it's kind of when I got my lucky chance. It was, like, end of 15 that I performed at the Ogden Valley Balloon Festival in Eden. And I had to perform, like, an hour and a half set, and so I got ready for that, went up there, and the sound tech had this, like, super familiar voice to me, and I'm like, this dude sounds so familiar. And so finally I just had the guts. I'm like, who are you? I'm like, your voice sounds so familiar, because we were talking for a while, and I'm just like, it sounds so familiar. And he's like, well, I'm Tracy Chapman from 101.5. And I'm like, that's where I know you. Like, I knew it sounded familiar. And I'm like, I knew you had, like, this crazy strong radio voice, and so it was cool. And he was just this really good, he was really, really good dude. And so I performed the set and everything, and he was loving it, and he approached me afterward, and he was like, hey, Brogan, he's like, I can't really play you because I'm country, and he's like, you're definitely a more rock pop. He's like, but I'm really good friends with Todd Newcomb, and I would love to introduce you to him. I'm like, if you've got, you know, I can give you his card, and if you can give me your card, and maybe we can hook something up, and maybe we can see what goes on there. Like, all right, cool. That'd be awesome.
Now, 15, did you actually have your own business cards?
I had my little business cards. That's awesome. Sweet. Yeah.
I remember that first time I was approached like that. Yeah. I was like, business cards?
What's that? What? No, I remember, like, there was, like, this crappy little card thing that I just made. It was just super basic. But I'm like, because back then I was just performing wherever I could. So I'm like throwing out business cards to see if anyone will pay attention to me. And so finally, I got Todd's email and everything, and I added him, like, on Facebook, and I was trying to talk to him, and he just wouldn't talk to me at all. I'm like, all excited. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go talk to Todd Newcomb. This would be so cool. I sent him, like, an email, and I don't even hear back. Like, a month goes by, and I'm like, dang, that sucks. And so then sent him more stuff, nothing. And then I kept trying to get a hold of him, like, on Facebook. Just nothing, no replies or anything like that. And my mom even tried to get a hold of him. And there's just nothing, no reply back or anything like that. I'm just like, dang, that sucks. And so then a few months go by, and I finally got a reply back from him that just said, cool, send me a CD. And it was, like, after me, like, sending, like, pages of stuff to him. And I'm, like, seriously, like, pouring my heart out, like, all these emails, like, please pay attention to me. And then finally just replies back with just that one line, cool, comma, send me a CD. And I'm like, oh, all right. So, yeah, I sent him a CD, and it was back then it was, like, this acoustic EP I had that I recorded by myself on Audacity. And it was, I listened to it now, and it's so bad. But I sent it to him, and then a couple months go by, and I never heard back from him. And then one day one of my friends called me, and they're like, dude, X96 just said your name. And I was like, what? He's like, I'm dead serious. They just said your name. And it's like, I back then I got so many prank calls from people that were just like horrible, horrible stuff. People would always make fun of you, especially when you're trying to become an artist, yeah, and you're putting yourself out there. You know, people just treat, just say the most horrible things and treat you like garbage. And so I was sitting there, I'm like, dude, I'm like, are you pulling a prank? I mean, like, seriously, I'm like, this isn't cool. And he's like, no, dude, I'm dead serious. They just said your name. They, like, he's like, they said they're going to play your song. And I'm like, no, I'm like, dude, this isn't cool. Like, don't joke with me. And so then I turned on the radio, and he's like, I'm dead serious. They did. I'm like, okay. And so I'm listening, and 5 minutes go by, and there's just nothing. And I'm like, oh, you jerk. And so then all of a sudden, boom, like after I said it, my song starts playing, my song Paper Wings. And I'm like, what? It was just unreal. I'm like, holy crap, my song is on the radio. And I was just like freaking out, and it was just such an unreal experience. And then I guess afterward, so many people liked the song, it got requested so many times to be played again. And so they played it again like an hour and a half later, and it was just, it was so cool, it was so unreal, and that's actually when Todd kind of started paying attention. And so I thanked him. It wasn't him that played, it was actually Andy Pants, who used to work for X96. And so Todd actually kind of started paying attention, though, because my song got played. So I started sending Todd, like, just all the stuff I'd be working on. I'd send him any song that would be going on. I won this competition to go record with Vite Ren out in Florida. He works like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and some other people. He's worked like T-Pain. But so I got to fly out there and work with him and on my song Plausible. And it was an unreal experience. And I learned so much from him about recording, learned so many little tricks. It was just really cool. And so I started getting Todd's attention there and sent him some songs. And he was just all of a sudden like really getting on board with what I was doing. And started playing with my songs on the radio. We started, like, throwing me back at Exposed. And I'd start, like, winning the Exposed competitions. It was just starting to kind of take off from there. And then the whole Thursday Night Tomorrow's thing came by. And I entered my stuff in there to see what happened there. And I ended up being chosen to open for 30 Seconds to Mars, which was unreal.
Yeah.
Meeting Jared Leto and everything. And him, like, saying, you know, I want you to open for me. It was like, wow, okay.
Right.
So I got to open that show, and then we just kind of went from there, and Todd started, you know, I started hearing my story, where I've kind of come from, and started getting on board with my music, and started playing me like he does with everyone else. He just kind of threw me on the radio and see what would happen, and I started getting so many requests, and the research was coming back really, really good, and then he started putting me on, you know, due to requests and everything, people were requesting me to be on, put on shows, and so he started throwing me on shows, and it kind of just took off from there, started meeting really, some really cool people, and...
Yeah, I mean, when your single Who Cares hits, I mean,
yeah,
it felt like every time I turned on X96 and then even 107.9, I could hear that. And I mean, that was awesome when he dropped that one, and it really, really went off.
Yeah, that was crazy. I remember when I got to record that, because I wrote that song, I wrote that when I was like 16, and I wrote the idea of it, and I'm like, you know, I just want like a really good kind of pop, just really good feeling, good pop song. And so I wrote that one, and then, like, seriously, a couple months later, we sent it to Brandon Steniker from The Used, and he was like, dude, I want to record it. And we're just like, really? He's like, yeah, dude. He's like, I'd love to produce something like that. He's like, we can do like two tracks or something like that. I'd love to produce something for you. So I went and recorded Who Cares with him, then my other song, Be With You. And it was just so cool to watch Brandon work. It was ridiculous. He's an amazing drummer. He and I had just had so many ideas going back and forth from Who Cares. And yeah, right when we finished, it was just ridiculous. Just a couple months after writing it, get to go in the studio with Brandon, and then... Yeah, what happened on X96 with that was just crazy. It was, like, in the highest rotation on it and just constant requests for it. It was actually, like, the most requested song for about, I think, almost a month. And then...
It's catchy as hell. I mean, you get that chorus line. Even my wife the other night was walking around humming it. And I don't know when the last time was that she had listened to it. I think it's on some mix that she has for working out.
That's funny.
And I mean, that song gets stuck in your head, and it's, I mean, it's just like any of those, like Call Me Maybe or any of them. Mm. You hear it, and it's in your head for at least a week.
That's what I tried to do with it. I tried to write some annoying, catchy song that everyone's singing. So that was crazy. And that was, you know, when that was getting played, and then I got to play X96's big-ass show, that was unreal. Like, when I played that song live, and, like, almost the entire crowd is singing it back, it was like, what?
So I actually have that recorded at home. Because it was kind of a ha-ha moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
So because, I don't know if you remember, about a year and a half ago, I was booking a thing for, my sister was a student body officer at a middle school. And I was trying to, I was booking a concert for her. And you came, we had booked you and you came down with bronchitis.
Oh yeah. Oh, that sucked.
And Todd and I were trying to get it rescheduled.
Yeah.
And the school just, they're like, no, we need to do something now. And I was like, really? Like. Just be patient.
Like end up having like an ice cream party.
Ice cream
like
party is what they ended up
doing. And I'm like, man, I'm like, I got replaced by an ice cream party.
And I remember telling him, I was like, you guys are going to regret this. I was like, seriously, like you could have been patient for just like an extra week.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, no, we needed to do it. And so, I mean, it was just a matter of months later, and I recorded that and emailed it to my sister, and I was like, so what was better, this or ice cream? And she never responded back, so it was kind of a great, oh, you guys should have listened to me.
That's kind of funny.
So now, I mentioned the fact of you performing at Gateway when you kind of first started. Mm. And it was kind of, like, as I was doing some of the research, you know, going into this interview and stuff, I started looking back at a bunch of different things, and I was like, holy shit, like, I've actually crossed Brogan's path multiple times without even realizing it. Because one of my old bands, like when we'd do concert promoting with Loungefly, I used to do a ton of different promotions with Loungefly. We'd be up at Gateway and we'd always see you, but your image was totally different
though. Oh yeah. I look completely different.
So and I saw some of the pictures I think that even Todd had posted, and I was like, holy shit, I remember him.
Yeah.
Like we would always walk us and we actually would stop and listen to you. So it wasn't just your mom.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Woohoo.
But yeah, I remember seeing that and I was just like, wow, I remember that.
That's cool.
And then the 30 Seconds to Mars concert, too. So I was promoting that with Loungefly up at the rail.
Mm-hmm.
And my writing partner, Jordan, that does My House on the Moon with me and all that, he had just started a studio at his house at the time. Cool. And we were giving away free recording time.
Oh.
So, and we were getting ready to hand it out to you.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
And one of the other promoters was like, he's already got tons of recording time and everything with everybody else. And he's like, we're just going to give it to the second band. And we were like, oh, okay. And so they gave it to another band that never even used it.
Really? That's funny.
Because we kept saying, no, give it to him. Give it to him. Like, he was really good.
Mm.
And they were just like, no, that wouldn't be fair. And we were like, all right, whatever. Like,
that's funny.
So, yeah, it was funny. And then I just so happened, like, I had remembered your name. And then all of a sudden you popped up again, like, a month later. And I was like, well, I guess he did get taken care of. So.
Something happened for me somewhere.
So, I mean, yeah, that 30 Seconds to Mars show, you know, was really a huge one.
Crazy.
Being in Jared Leto's presence is something in and of itself. I mean,
that was unreal. Because I've always looked up to him. Like, if you look at, like, old pictures of me, I even tried to look like him at some point.
I think all of us did at one point.
Right? You all have to try the Jared Leto at some point. And so, yeah, I just had, like, the super long hair. I'm like, I got to wear eyeliner like Jared Leto. And I was just, I loved Jared Leto. And he was just a huge, huge inspiration to me. And so when I finally got to meet him, it was just so unreal. And I got to perform, like, for him. And, you know, he comes up to me and he tells me I'm a badass. And I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, you're a badass, but thank you.
At least your first impression meeting him was better than mine.
Really?
I met him during 30 Seconds to Mars' first album, their first on Warped Tour. Yeah. And I was doing a bunch of crap for Warped, just passing out stuff, doing all I could to try to make a name for myself. Even though I wasn't getting paid, I was just handing stuff out. Yeah, I started talking to him afterwards, and I wanted to kind of find out how he got started.
Mm.
He's like, well, I was an actor. I was like, oh, really? What were you in? And he gave me this look like, what was I? Have you not? And then he asked me, he's like, have you ever seen Fight Club? At the time, I'd never seen Fight Club. And so I stood there just like an absolute jackass, not knowing who this guy was standing in front of me. And I went up to my buddy that was with me, and I was just like, do you know who Jared Leto is? He's like, yeah, he's the guy from Fight Club.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, man, I'm an like, idiot.
That was embarrassing.
Luckily, I've redeemed myself, I think, the few other times I've met him since. That's but good. Yeah, he's got that presence that's just...
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's scary. And that same tour, what's funny is he had his pink mohawk, I remember, on that tour. And that was Neon mohawk. Tree's first, like, big tour that they were part of after being signed and their debut album dropping. And right as they had left, Tyler just so happened to have dyed his mohawk that he had at the time pink. not knowing that Jared had a pink mohawk.
Yeah.
And so, like, he got a little bit of crap from what I've heard of that. Mm-hmm. Oh, is he just trying to copy
I think
Jared?
I remember hearing about that.
So, I mean, it was funny to see that happen right away, because mm-hmm. I remember right as I saw Jared on the first Tornado, I was like, oh, isn't Tyler's hair the same?
Oh.
So now one thing I thought was really cool that kind of sparked, you know, your whole journey with music, and that I've even seen, you know, from Facebook and Twitter posts that you've done, is you've had a lot to overcome with coming into music and really, you know, trying to make a positive impact on the world. And I mean, I can tell it's definitely something that is backing you and driving you. So, I mean, where does that really come from? Where do you see yourself going with that to try to bring that positive vibe out?
I mean, when I was, you know, about 13 is when my life got really, really, really difficult. You know, I weighed about 200 pounds. I was a very, very overweight kid. I got, I mean, I wasn't like the really big overweight kid. I was just a really husky kid. And I was, you know, at 13, you know, you don't normally weigh 200 pounds.
Yeah, the one that everybody pats and asks if you're going out for football the next season.
Yeah. And so, and, you know, I always kind of got made fun of at school. I always got called chubby, and I was always just kind of made fun of. And, you know, at home, I had a really, really rough life. I had an abusive stepfather. I was always bounced back and forth from my dad's house to my mom's house. My parents split when I was about 1.5, so I don't remember them being together. And my dad had, you know, crazy girlfriends and everything, and then my stepdad was just a horrible, horrible guy. And so I was going from school to that, and I suffered from manic depression. I have ADHD still, and then I have really bad anxiety. And when I was about 13 is when I got in a really, really dark place, and I attempted suicide when I was 13. And at that point is when I kind of realized, you know, something was very, very wrong. And I finally, you know, my mom kind of, you know, eventually kind of found out. And so we kind of, my mom and I got very, very close after that. And kind of, we started kind of, you know, trying to find a way to get me some help. Because I was definitely in a very, very bad, dark place. And, you know, I grew up in Utah not being Mormon, and which is very, very difficult. Especially because, you know, you don't fit in. You don't really belong. It's like, for me, I believe if you whatever you want to believe, it's totally cool with me. No problem there. But when you grow up, you know, being the minority, it's pretty difficult, especially when you get looked at. Because I always got looked at like I used drugs. And it was like, I've never tried a drug in my life. But that was what was always said about me. I did drugs. I smoked. I did all this stuff. I'm like, never tried any of it. And I was actually a straight-A student in school, but no one ever really saw it because of I had, you know, the Jared Leto hair. I tried doing all that. I wore, like, girl pants and everything. And so, after a while, it was just like after a few years after, you know, I was 13 is when I really just kind of started getting myself together. I started doing yoga. I just kind of really found music just to be this huge outlet for me. And I remember just I'd hear stories about like celebrities and all sorts of different people that just kind of overcame it and how much work it really was and just the impact they can really have. And I started thinking about, you know, the impact that the people I looked up to had on me. And so that's when I just really felt strong about, you know, I don't want someone to ever get to the point that I did. I don't want anyone to have to feel like they're alone there because I always felt constantly alone. I always felt like when I would record, I was just by myself all day most of the time. And so the only thing I really had to do was record and just do music and anything I could and just performing. You know, I'd go perform and just be by myself. And then my mom would be there supporting me. And so so over the years, I just kind of have really looked back and thought, you know, I don't want some kid to ever feel like they're alone. I want to be able to help them push through it. And it's just, that's kind of been my huge driving force is that you get through it. You know, I never thought that I'd ever be 18. And so also now I'm 19 and it's like, holy crap, you actually do keep going. It's just, you just got to pick yourself back up and constantly pick yourself back up until, you know, you find out who you are, find out what you're meant to do. And so that's just really kind of the message I found that I've just been very, very strong about that I want to kind of put out there with my music.
Yeah, I feel so. Like your newest album really, really kind of speaks to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's one of those albums that just every message of each song, just like it makes you almost smile. So, I mean, there's one of the lines on I can't remember the name of the song. I apologize. The one about dancing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm going to dance.
Yeah, I'm going to dance.
Yeah.
I love that because, like, as I was listening to that one, it doesn't even necessarily have to be just about, you know, I'm going to dance. Like, yeah. I mean, it's just kind of, in my eyes, the message of that song was just kind of like, fuck it, like,
mm-hmm.
this is my life. I'm gonna have fun with this regardless of what anybody else says.
So that's what I was trying to go for. Because, like, some people heard it and they're just like, why is it just this meaningless pop song? And I'm like, well, it's not. I'm like, there's so much of a deeper meaning to it. I wrote it, like, yeah, when I wrote it, like, kind of as a joke. I wrote the chorus at first, and I wrote it when I was just pissed off. I was just like, you know, I'm like, I just had to get all this crap out of me. And so I just wrote the chorus real quick, and I just was like, I'm just going to say fuck. I just want to say fuck right now. So, you know, I was like, I'm going to fucking dance. And so I just kind of wrote it and as a joke, and then I was just kind of performing it, and, like, the band heard it, and, you know, Todd heard it, and everyone was just kind of like, that's actually kind of a cool song. And I'm like, I actually do kind of like it. And so then I kind of was just writing it, and I seriously was just like, this would just be about just not caring, losing all your insecurities, and just whatever you want to do. It's like, yeah, the lyrics are kind of stupid. Like, you know, you're going to go dance around your underwear and start a Congo line and do all this random stuff. And, you know, but the idea of it was just, seriously, just let it go. Do whatever you want. Whatever you have in your mind that you want to do, just do it. Be you. Don't be scared to be you and have fun with it. And if you want to dance, then just fucking dance.
Yeah, whether it's in your underwear or in a Congo line. Yeah,
exactly. That's right, huh?
So now you kind of talked about your health,
yeah.
with all of it. So, and I know you've posted, you know, different pictures on mm-hmm. the full transition. I mean, it's been quite a transition for you. So I'm in the reverse transition right now. And
it happens.
Yeah, it happens, and it's like now moving to LA. It's like I don't have a choice. Like, and I kind of like that. It's like I put myself against the wall, and it's like you either got to get in tip top shape or you're doing nothing out there. Like I can be the fat Spider-Man on Hollywood Boulevard. That's about where my option gets.
That's pretty cool, man. Most people don't get to do that.
I think I'd have to do that though, like dressed up in like one of the little kid outfits though. If I was gonna be fat Spider-Man, because you would have to have the midriff hanging out.
Uh-huh. You get people's attention though. Yeah. Right? So hey, might be the next huge YouTube thing.
Yeah. fat Spider-Man screams at 3-year-old.
Look at me now, Mom. Look at me now.
Now, you talked about, like, your yoga and everything like mm-hmm. that, and I know one of your tattoos is even related to that.
Yeah. I've actually got a few that are. The very first one that's on my back is, it's just the Ohm symbol right on my back, and, I got that actually on my 17th birthday. It was kind of, 17 is, like, you know, when everything was just happening for me. It's when, you know, I was on the radio and all stuff was happening, and it was a reminder, just kind of what I've kind of been through. And, you know, how my life has changed in this huge positive direction just because I finally decided to change it. And so, I placed it on my back because, in yoga and just basically in general, you know, pushing your shoulder blades on your back opens up your heart. It puts you in correct posture. It puts you in alignment. And that actually is how you keep yourself happy, is constantly keeping yourself in alignment. And then I placed it below my head. So it's just right there between my shoulder blades, to always remind myself to keep myself grounded and never get stuck in my head. And so that was one of the first I got. And then I got Namaste right there on my arm, which kind of just means the basic meaning of Namaste is it's like a hello and a goodbye kind of thing, but it just means like the divine in me sees the divine in you. It's kind of like an avatar, and everyone made fun of it when they say like, I see you in avatar. It's just that meaning of you understand like that person that's right in front of you that you're talking to. You completely see who they are, and there's zero judgment. And so that's kind of why I got that one. Just to always remind myself to stay open and accept people for who they are. And it's even a reminder for me. It's like, accept myself for who I am when I'm sitting there thinking I need to be somebody and sitting there and like judging myself. It's just a reminder of just, no, I just see who you are, who you're supposed to be.
That's really cool.
Thanks.
So, I mean, that's something, yoga is something I've always wanted to start doing. So I did the P90X yoga once and I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of how it goes. When I did it, I hated it. When I first did yoga, so I'm like thinking, yeah, I'm just going to go in there, get like a good relaxation going.
And it's actually a serious workout.
It's an insane workout. I go in there and I'm like, nah, I'm leaving. Screw this. I don't ever want to do this again.
I mean, it's good and relaxed. I don't know if you've seen much of like the P90X stuff.
Yeah, I actually have.
That X stretch. Like, mm-hmm. when it's, like, the entire stretch workout. After that yoga and all of that, it was the stretching that put me to sleep. Uh-huh. I made it, like, 30 minutes into it, and he gets you on your back, and 5 minutes later, I was like, oh, gall, I'm still doing this. Wait. Uh-huh. I was out.
That's how it goes, yeah. When I first, yeah, I hated it when I first started it, but then I kind of just got, I don't know why, but I kind of kept going back. And it was actually my dad's ex-wife, who's a fitness instructor. She kind of would tell me to keep going. And I was like, why? It hurts. like, it's not fun at all. I'm like, why would I want to go back to that? But I kind of kept going back, and to the point like where I kind of started getting like the flow of it down. I started getting like the breathing down and just learned how powerful just breathing is. And so, and then just finally after a bit, it's seriously, it's like addicting. Now I have to have like yoga like every single day. So I'll lift and I'll run. And then yoga is like it's my favorite part of the day where I just get to go in and just completely let go and breathe and just release so much crap out of my body. And then, have that nice relaxation afterwards. You just want to just nap the entire day.
it definitely is something I know I need to eventually start doing, it because I everything I hear about it's great.
Yeah, I mean, I seriously think that everybody should give it a try, because it's seriously like it's such a great way to just relax your mind and not stress out and figure out how to not stress out. Because I used to be this little stress ball all the time. You know, I had anxiety, I had manic depression. I'd, like, just depress the crap out of myself and stress myself out. And now it's just, I just finally learned how to just breathe through it. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, thanks.
So now one of the other things I'd love to touch on that we kind of mentioned here, too, is the all the different bands that you've been able to share the stage with.
Crazy.
So, I mean, starting off, you know, with that big 30 Seconds to Mars show. And, crazy. I mean, just that show alone was 30 Seconds to Mars, Neon Trees, and Mute Math.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, three gigantic bands.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
but I mean, since then, like, you've played the X96 big-ass show.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you've had, with that, I mean, the Airborne Toxic event, Amber Lynn, Switchfoot, who you ended up playing on stage with.
Yeah, with, and then singing for Panic at the Disco.
Yeah, and singing for Panic at the Disco, which was just amazing.
It seriously felt like a dream. Like,
how did they approach you about that? Because, I mean, to put you in with the rest of them that they did, aside from just singing with Panic at the Disco.
I mean, Tyler Glenn.
Yeah, Tyler Glenn too.
And
Trees.
It was like, what? it was kind of funny, because, you know, I'm already on the show, and then I heard that Switchfoot was playing, and Switchfoot was huge to me, and their song "Dare to Move," which is tattooed on me now, that was what got me through a lot of crap when I was a kid. And that song, seriously, I can say, like, that song saved my life. It was just, had that super powerful message. I seriously have that song on repeat so many times, and I still do to this day. I can't get enough of that song. And so I grew up listening to Switchfoot and absolutely love Switchfoot. And so when I was talking with Todd, you know, Todd knows my story and everything. And I was just like, I really want to perform that song with Switchfoot. I'm like, if that's at all possible. And so we know Switchfoot's manager, and we got a hold of him, and we kind of told him just basically, you know, what that song's done for me and what just Switchfoot in general has done for me. And I'd love to perform it with them. So he talked to the guys on Switchfoot and John Foreman them, and John Foreman's like, let's do it. He's like, I'll throw you up on stage and I can perform with us. So I knew like a week in advance, and I'm just like, holy crap! I'm like, this is just ridiculous. And so a whole entire week, I'm just practicing my butt off on how to perform the song. And so I'm actually, you know, I've got my set down. I'm like, okay, I got to remember how to play Dare to Move. I'm like, I'm solid. And so we're going to the show. I'm like, all right, I got this. Okay, my set, Dare to Move, it's going to be crazy. And then right then, Todd calls me. And, you know, we're friends with Dallin Weeks, who's Panic Disco's new bassist, you know, Dallin Weeks from the Robex. And so Dallin Weeks got a hold of Todd and was like, hey, could Brogan sing for us? Brendan Urie's sick. He's like, what song would you like to sing? And so Todd tells me that, and I'm like, wait. So I'm from my own set, performing with Switchfoot, and now I have to sing for Panic! The Disco, too? I'm like, whoa, all right. And so he's just like, pick a song. What one do you want to do? And I'm like, I guess I'll do Mona Lisa, since it's the single right now. And they're like, cool, let's do it. And so it was kind of like that. They brought me backstage. We only went over, like, half the song just to rehearse it real quick, just acoustically.
Like, you remember the rest, right?
Yeah, they're like, no, that's seriously how it went. And so we performed, like, half the song. I'm like, all right, I think we're good. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, we'll have lyric sheets on stage, don't worry about it. And I'm like, okay, that's going to help. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to probably need that. And I'm like, I knew the song, because I seriously, like, I've actually played around the song before. I knew actually how to play it, but I hadn't performed it for a while, because I'm like, you know, I'm focused on my set, and then Switchfoot and everything, and then all of a sudden that gets thrown at me, and it was like, well, let's do it. Throw that lyric sheet up on stage, and sure, let's do it.
And I mean, you were such a natural at it too. I mean, it was
surprised.
Like, I mean, I remember watching that as soon as they announced that he wasn't going to be there. I was just like, all right, cool. We'll see how all this goes. And like, we've asked a bunch of different lead singers and stuff to perform, and we're like, all right. And everybody just nailed it. And it was just
it was an unreal.
You would have thought that it had been rehearsed for weeks.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was really a neat experience. I think for not just for all you guys that are performing, but for really everybody in the crowd that
I think got it was a cool eye opener just to kind of show that that it shows like how much better like musicians are than you really think they are. They can throw something together like that in a matter of like seconds and put on a show like that. It just gives you a whole new appreciation for musicians, especially Panic at the Disco, to be able to do something like that and pull it off and show true talent, you know, of actual singers and everything, and how threw it together in like a few minutes. They seriously, everyone backstage just real quick to rehearse it acoustically.
Well, plus between your own sets.
We all have our own sets. And so that was just crazy.
And for people that don't know, with the big ass show too, especially because it was at Gallivan, and the stages are a little bit apart.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit of a maze to almost be able to quickly get to
get to the stage. Yeah.
So, I mean, it really makes it even more of an amazing feat. I remember Ransom from King Nico.
Yeah.
Actually had posted a write-up that I want to say was in Spin about the whole thing, about all of you guys stepping in. And it's like, that was just such insane press that, you know, it's a little, really not a little, but it's a local show.
Yeah.
That managed to get national attention. It's like, that was pretty awesome.
It was crazy. I know, it was like, I had like articles like on a bunch of different websites about how I got to sing for them. And that was just crazy how much attention that got.
So. And plus the promotion that gave X96.
So. Yeah. The whole thing in general is just insane. So it was cool.
Yeah, and you mentioned Dallin Weeks. You know, I've been so happy for Dallin. Years ago, I used to own a store that was a music store. And we would do concerts after hours and stuff. And I've always felt horrible, and I haven't got to see Dallin since.
Really?
Because I didn't mean to, but we kind of screwed over the Brobecks.
Oh.
We had them playing with Amber Pacific during like the hype of Amber Pacific's career.
Yeah.
And Amber Pacific came in, and we're just kind of like, well, we're not headlining. Like, we don't want to headline. Like, put one of your locals on headlining.
Oh.
And the Brobecks were a little bit late to the show.
Oh, yeah.
And Amber Pacific had just kind of staked their ground. Oh. And, I mean, we were out of our league as it was. I mean, we were in our very early 20s running a mall store and a music venue. And, I mean, we mentioned the egos earlier. Both of us had major egos, and my head was 5 miles up my ass.
It gets in the way.
Yeah, and so it was just like, well, but they're Amber Pacific. Like, I can't tell them what to do.
Yeah.
We kind of managed to piss off the Brobecks, and
I've
never had a chance to apologize to Dallin over it, and always felt so bad.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
And so, like, every time I've had, like, you know, cross paths with Panic, Dallin's never been there, and so I've never been able to be like, dude, I'm so sorry. So hopefully somehow he'll hear this, and this can be like,
I'll send it to him. Like, Dallin, this can be my national right here, man. Apology. There's an apology for you, man.
So yeah, I mean, from what I remember meeting Dallin back in the day, I mean, he was always a great guy.
Yeah, he's
like,
a really
I have been
good dude.
So thrilled to watch, you know, just another local be able to rise and actually, I mean, I think it was the Mona Lisa video too, was the first video he was in.
Yeah.
And it was just like, there he is, that's awesome. Uh-huh. And then when they played on Conan, I don't know if you ever saw their Conan.
I did.
Where Conan walks right in front of Dallin.
He does, and Dallin goes,
that's it. I think if I remember any mouth, that's
he
him.
He does.
And I laughed so hard.
Yep, that was classic. He got the picture of it and everything of when he did it. And we were laughing so
that
hard.
Is so funny. So I don't know if you've ever seen a Dave's picture from when Neon Trees first played on there. Their entire band is massive fans of Conan.
Yeah.
And Dave actually was the one who really got me hooked on Conan years ago when I was managing Allred.
Really?
And his picture is like a 5-year-old in a candy store. Seeing Conan's just kind of relaxed, and Dave's just got this like the biggest smile in the entire world, and it kills me every time I see it.
That's so funny.
So now, even with some of these other shows you have coming up, you've got Warped Tour this weekend.
Yeah, I got Warped Tour this weekend.
Which stage are you playing?
I don't know yet. They seriously, it's Warped Tour, man. You never know what's gonna happen. And so they just have you show up like in the morning, and that's when you kind of find out when everything is gonna happen, because they mostly set everything up that day. And so it's usually either the Kevin Says stage or the Ernie Ball stage. It's either one. So I won't know, but I'll post it that morning as soon as I find out. So
right. And is this your second or third year doing Warped Tour?
Second year. So I played it 2 years ago, and that was fun. It was a crazy experience. I got to play the Kevin Says stage, and I was terrified. There was just like no one's gonna really be there, and all of a sudden I have this huge crowd in front of me. So that was really, really cool, and got a lot of new fans, and it was a really cool experience. It's just a day-long trip through hell. And I don't see how the bands do it for months, like the whole entire tour, because that one day was just so freaking hot, you know? And it was just
I did several weeks of it at one point, promoting my clothing line.
Yeah.
And yeah, that, it's 12 hours in the heat, especially when you're just trying to make a name for yourself, or you're handing out flyers, and like when you're working with other bands on the tour of, hey, go see this band. And it's like especially when they're playing a late set.
Oh yeah,
I mean
you're there all day and waiting.
Second you tear down, you're booking it to the next city, and I mean, one day's hell enough, but
yeah.
But it's like even though it's absolute hell, it's the greatest time.
It's fun, like it's really fun. It's just you're drained, like you seriously are just completely exhausted. And after just the one day of doing it, it's just like I have complete respect for the band that can just do that for the entire tour. Even just let alone like a week. If you can do it for like a week, you have my complete respect.
And see, we were doing it in my Blazer. Like I had a Chevy Blazer at the time. And we were driving back and forth in my Chevy Blazer whose air conditioner worked sometimes.
Oh, man. It's on, dude. We're lucky right now. Just use it.
So it was definitely interesting to be out there. But I mean, we made so many great contacts. I mean, if you even have that little in with Warped Tour, it's...
Mm-hmm.
The connections you can make are unreal.
Yeah. And so I actually, you know, Kevin Lyman's actually a really, really good dude.
Yeah.
He was completely, you know, I was actually a fan of my music and stuff. And I just asked him directly, can I play Warp? And he's like, yeah, dude, let's throw you on. And it's like, Kevin Lyman's just totally cool with that. All right. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
So what was that like the first time you met Kevin? I've only met him once. And it was one of those moments where it's like, you made this.
I know. I was like, it's just kind of like... It's like, it almost like, for me, I'm funny because like when I meet people that are like, really, really like that I look up to or, you know, that are kind of more famous, it's like, it doesn't hit me until after I meet them. It's like I'm meeting them and it's just kind of like, you're not real. No.
Just like that Tupac hologram.
Yeah, that's
right. Try to wave your hands through. Exactly. Them.
It's like, no, you're not real. Come on. Where's the hologram thing? So I just, it doesn't hit me until after I meet him. But yeah, he's a really, really, really nice dude. He's really, really cool.
Yeah, I think he was one that I kind of got starstruck by because it was just like I'd followed him for years.
Yeah.
Him and Ryan Murphy.
Really?
Yeah. And Ryan Murphy, it was completely unintentional. I was at the Paramount lot.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was just coming down one of the back alleys where all of his offices are, and he was just out on his cell phone.
Just chilling?
just chilling, and I went past, and I stuttered.
Really? Like,
my wife just started laughing at me. Because it's like, I mean, we had come across, since we'd walked on the lot, I mean, Jane Lynch, several, like, major stars, Damon Wayans Jr. And she's like, hey, yeah, that's Jane Lynch, that's Damon Wayans Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ryan Murphy just like, my tongue just became extra fat and I couldn't even speak.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's funny because, yeah, you don't sometimes realize, especially, I mean, even when you're on stage with them, that...
Mm.
Yeah, that's who that is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, Chris Rowe from the Ataris is one that I had done several shows with him. And it never even hit me. And at one point, I was even on the phone with him as we were booking a show.
Really?
And one of my buddies was just freaking out. And he's just like, he's on the phone with Chris Rowe right now. And I was just like, yeah? And then it started, it finally hit me. I was like, I was just on the phone with Chris Rowe, like that. Why was I talking to? I don't belong here. So I mean, it's a cool experience. The more that you get to know people within the industry and watch how they help build your career, and especially if you're playing the Kevin Says stage, I mean, to have Kevin Lyman's attention to be able to just be like, "Can I play?" And he's just like, "Yeah, of course."
Yeah, he's seriously just like, "Sure, man, that's what you want." And it's just like. Wow, all right.
Yeah, so that's awesome. I hope that's the stage you end up playing again this year, because they usually stack that one.
Yeah, they do.
Pretty well with a lot of up-and-coming bands. I remember, I think, first time I ever saw All Time Low, who another band you shared the stage with.
Yep.
I think it was actually on the Kevin Says stage, and we have pictures because we watched them on stage, and it was, I think, their first or second year playing Warped Tour.
Yeah.
And there's maybe 15 people
really
in the crowd. They were like the 11:30, like, first band like in the gates.
Right when it opens. Oh, man.
And there was just nobody there.
That sucks.
And so, like, they're one that it's just crazy to see where they've even gone.
They blew up.
Yeah, I mean, they're one of the biggest ones out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's amazing to see what those small stages of Warp
they
can end up doing for a career.
Yeah, Warp Tour can really push you.
So, right on. So I think that about kind of wraps things up for us here. Cool. You've got your third album out now.
Yep.
So all of them people can find on iTunes.
Yeah, it's on iTunes, Rhapsody, Amazon. It's available in all Greywell locations. It actually just barely got to all the Greywell locations today. So, yeah, go pick it up anywhere there. It's on Spotify if you want to go listen on Spotify. And then, yeah.
So, and it really is, you know, supporting, you know, just total DIY. I mean, it's you've completely done all these, you know, on your own, and that's, I mean, that's something that I think a lot of people respect enough of.
Yeah, it's like
all that goes into that.
Yeah, a lot of people, like, seriously, because I've had so much crap for people saying that, you know, like Todd, because, you know, like, it's kind of been said that Todd's like my dad. He's not really my dad, you know. Yeah. He's just he's taken me in, like, you know, I'm kind of like a son to him, and, you know, because I've needed someone like that in my life. And so he's kind of taken it on, but, you know, I still do it all myself, mostly. A lot of people don't see, like, the behind the scenes. They always see this, like, Brogan's only on the radio because of Todd Newcomb. It's like, well, kind of. He put me on the radio, like he does with every other band, to see what happens. And then, you know, but I still do it myself. I do, you know, I still, behind the scenes and everything, it's all me, like, even, like, videos and everything. When you watch, like, the music videos, that's my ideas. It's just, I seriously love to be a part of every aspect of the song, just how it tells its story, and even like down to like artwork on my albums and stuff like that. It's working my butt off to try to get the exact image I want and exact way I want to tell a story. So that's what a lot of people don't get to see.
And you have a bunch of videos that are up now, both on YouTube and on your website. Is that right?
Yeah.
So those, a lot of those too, have recently been produced by Rob Diamond, who just does some incredible work,
crazy stuff. He's an amazing director.
So plus, I mean, being the film geek that I am, I always see him shooting with those reds on different things, and I'm like, I want one of those.
We're using a red for my next video.
Oh, those cameras just blow my mind what they are capable of. So when I saw some of those that you guys were shooting with, I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
He's an incredible cameras. Director.
he's amazing. He's actually my acting coach. He's actually my agent and everything, too, with acting.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, and he's a really, really good dude. Very, very nice guy. You know, I was just barely in his movie, Wayward, that he just barely filmed. I get to be big Vegas performer in it. Nice. And then Nathan, I'm playing poker in it as well. And then my songs also be featured in it. So, but yeah, he's helping out with my next video as well that we're filming next month. That's actually going to be, he's not directing it, but he's co-directing it, and directing it's going to be my buddy Mark Webb. And yeah, we got to use the red camera for it, which I'm super excited for. Such an amazing camera.
Yeah, it'll. It's like your videos already look great, and you just put it in the red, and it just brings something else out of it.
It was like, we got to use, because on the last video for To Say Stay, we were trying to say if we wanted to use the red, but then we ended up getting our hands on the Blackmagic, which Blackmagic is such a sweet camera. Yeah. And so we're like, oh man, we got to use it. It's such a great camera. So I'm like, we'll use the red on the next one. The Blackmagic just has like my complete attention right now, and I'm loving it. So we just ended up using that for To Say Stay.
Awesome. So now, anything you got to plug?
Anything I have to plug?
Yeah, shows. I mean, we said where you can find the albums.
Yeah, I've got, you know, albums out there and everything. Merch will be available online soon. I'm working on that right now for an online store, so you can go buy my merch on my website. I'll be playing July 4th up in Park City on Main Street. I'll be performing right after the Mayor's Band, which I'm so excited for, because that's going to be so much fun. I've performed in Park City a few times, but it was always just kind of in the corner type stuff.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, yes, Main Street right after the Mayor's Band. It's going to be sweet. And so it's actually cool because I'm going to be performing a cover of Neon Trees' Animal.
Oh, nice.
So with a special guest on that. So that'll be pretty cool. And then...
Are you able to say the special guest yet, or is it still hidden?
It's no one like really, really big, but it was just someone that approached me and just said they really wanted to, because, you know, I performed on stage with Panic at the Disco and Switchfoot. And someone approached me and said that they'd love to perform on stage with me. And I'm like, that's awesome. Let's throw you up on stage then. Let's do this. And so, yeah, we're going to do a cover of Animal by Neon Trees.
Awesome.
And then I've got other stuff in the works, but I cannot mention it yet. So
so now I threw up on Facebook and Twitter asking for any fan questions.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to know a few things. And we got a couple back. So
Really
quick, a couple fans wanted to know, what is your favorite food?
My favorite food? Really? Man. I'm a pig. I love food. I love food so much. Man, that always changes, but mostly, I'm crazy for sushi. Man, I just love sushi.
I've had to accustom my wife to sushi because she's always just said, oh, it's just like a big roll of salt. Like, really? Because you had crappy sushi.
Yeah, that's
like,
bad. What kind of sushi are you having? Yeah, it does have a lot of salt. I mean, if you're throwing soy sauce and everything on it, and you know, it does have a lot of salt. But yeah, I love sushi.
Right on. Another one. What is your favorite current TV show?
Favorite current TV show? Current TV show.
Or we can even go all time.
Man, I'm weird because I loved like Grey's Anatomy and like Desperate Housewives and stuff like that. Like, seriously, it's like the last thing you expect, and you're watching it and there's like murders and crap going on. You're like, what? But I love that. But right now I've been really into Breaking Bad.
As everyone is
pretty much right now. But oh man, I've been loving Breaking Bad.
I just finally caught up on season 5.
Yeah.
And it's like, it started off so slow that I almost forgot what happened in season 4. Mm. And then it ends because they had such a short season to gear up for this final one.
Yeah.
And the way it ended, I'm just like, wait, no, I can't wait two more months. Why did you do that?
What do you mean? Yeah, I was just like, and it's to the point now where it's like, I don't like anybody in it. It's like, I used to like Walter. And now it's just like, I hate you, Walter. What are you doing? You're becoming what you hated.
I'm excited to see how this all wraps up in the next few months.
It'll be cool. It'll be really cool. So yeah, that's mainly, I seriously don't really watch too much TV. I mean, I watch like Family Guy and other stuff, like when there's a new episode, but I'm always just either in my studio or watching movies. Right on. Yeah, Breaking Bad's the one I'm totally into right now. So,
What are you currently listening to?
What am I currently listening to? Man, if you seriously just saw what I listened to, you'd be completely confused because one day it's like Kenny Chesney, next day it's Red, who's actually one of my all-time favorite bands. And then it will go from like there to like seriously like Nicki Minaj. And I'll just be like, yeah, I love Nicki Minaj today. And then it'll go to just completely just other side of the spectrum, just complete random crap. It'll go to like, let's see, like Foster the People randomly to just random stuff. I just seriously, like every day my mood changes. I have like the worst music ADD, is what I call it.
I understand that. I mean, just this morning I finished listening to Yeezus, the new Kanye album.
Yeah, it's a good one though.
Yeah, and then on the way up here I was listening to Fallen in Reverse, their new album. So, and then I'll probably on my way home, I think I have planned to listen to The Main.
There you go.
So it's like, it's a nice little mix there.
Yeah.
So, and then, I mean, I bounce even from that to podcasts half the time.
Mm.
So, it's like all of my music days and then my podcast days, I'm in my car so much it feels like.
Technology now, we just have the worst ADD. One second, it's just like, I want that. All of a sudden, it's just like, boom, nope, completely changed. I want this now. And especially with me, I have ADHD, so it's just like every second, I just like, I want something different now.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm bored with that already. Let's go to the next thing. It's completely different. I don't want to feel the same I did 5 minutes ago.
Right on. And last question we had was, who would you still dream to share the stage with?
Who do I still dream to share the stage with? Man. One of the people I've still really, really dreamed to share the stage with is honestly probably Red, who's been one of my favorite bands. Like, seriously, like, my music's nothing like them, but it's either share the stage with them or someone that's, like, crazy, like Justin Timberlake or someone like that. It's, like, some huge pop, because I haven't never gotten to share the stage with someone that's, like, crazy pop artist.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I've always kind of done stuff that's been really close to my sound. It's, like, I think it'd be cool with my direction of music now going pop, share the stage with someone like that, like Justin Timberlake kind of idea. Or, you know, my dream has always been Red. But I don't know if they'd ever let me on stage with them because I'm crazy pop, Maroon 5-y. And I mean, that'd be cool. And then my all-time dream would be Adam Levine with Maroon 5. Because that's who I'm starting to sound like now. I've been a huge closet Maroon 5 fan for so long, and I was always so scared because I had so many friends that would make fun of Maroon 5. And I'm like, yeah, man, I hate Maroon 5, man. They totally suck. Go home. Just, man, I fucking love Maroon 5, man. I have my headphones in. No one can hear me listening to them. And now I'm just like, fuck it, I love Maroon 5. It's just, that's kind of where my sound's heading. Seriously, I look up Adam Levine a lot. He's a really, really cool dude. I love what he's doing and what Maroon 5's doing. So that's probably my all-time dream would be to sit on stage with Adam Levine and Maroon 5.
That'd be awesome. I'm excited. I haven't seen them live since their first album when they were opening for John Mayer. And I just found out that they're playing the Hollywood Bowl just a couple months after I move. And so I'm just like,
oh, yes! Man.
Yeah, and like they've been on, Neon her. Trees has been on tour with them this entire time. So my wife and I are like, yeah, can I know, we go
I've been,
see them?
I've been talking to like Brandon Campbell of Neon Trees. I'm like, come on, just bring me on tour with you guys. And I'm like, please. I'm like, just bring me on tour with you guys. And he's just like, because yeah, Ray told me he's going on tour with Maroon 5. I'm like, man, you suck. I want to go on tour with Maroon 5. And then he's like, and we don't have a Salt Lake date. I'm like, what?
Yeah, you gotta be kidding me. That was the worst part. We started planning out, okay, let's go up to Seattle and see him. We'll go up to Seattle. And like, I'm texting Dave and I'm just like, can you hook me up if we come to Seattle? Like, and she's like, well, we'll see. And then like every date kept falling through and we're just like, no, why does this happen?
That sucks.
So yeah, we're just like, Hollywood Bowl, thank goodness.
I was gonna go to like the one in Vegas, but I ended up having something going on that weekend, so I couldn't go to it. I'm just like, why didn't they have a Salt Lake date? Come on.
I was actually going to go to the one in Vegas as well.
Really?
And we forgot about it.
Oh man.
Like one of their old tour managers, and he even filled in on drums while Elaine had her baby. Yeah. John Buckner.
Yeah, John Buckner's
like,
a good dude.
John posts pictures online. I was just like, oh, that was this weekend.
Yeah, I saw those two, and I'm like, man, I had to miss that. That sucks.
And then, like, three nights later, I bump into John at Texas Roadhouse.
Really?
And I was just like, just tell me how it was. Just give me the details.
Tell me how it was. I'm gonna be pissed. I'm gonna walk out here with the most ruined week. It's not gonna be a ruined day. It's gonna be a ruined week. Maybe a whole month.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Brogan. So,
yeah, thank you.
Really looking forward to see all that's next for you.
Cool. Yeah.
So. And everybody can check you out on BroganKelby.com mm-hmm. and then on Twitter and Facebook, just at BroganKelby, right?
Yep, yeah. I'm on Instagram and all that, too. So if you ever want to just see what I'm randomly taking pictures of, follow me on there, too.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thanks a lot. And everybody go check him out.
Yep.
See you guys later.
See ya. Like nobody was there for you, waiting for the sun in the dark, but I know the stars will align for you. Pick yourself up off the floor and watch the shore appear. True.